The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. Not one of them was lost, the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, I know it's been several weeks since I have been back with you following Soren's birth, but this happens to be, apart from the Spirit of Hope recognitions last week, my first full sermon back, which is awesome, at least for me. I don't know about you, but thank you, thank you, thank you again for all of your support of Abby and me and Soren through these holy first few months of being a family together. I can't tell you how much it truly means to me. So I don't know of a better time to preach one's first sermon back from witnessing a birth than on Mother's Day. Mother's Day, a day that was first celebrated by activist Anna Marie Jarvis in 1908 when she held a remembrance service for her mother, Anne Reeves Jarvis, at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States began after that. Anne Reeves Jarvis, the mother, had been a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War and created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. And so the campaign by her daughter Anna to celebrate moms caught on, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation to create Mother's Day, a national holiday on the second Sunday in May. And you know, it's always a tension every year for pastors in how much they emphasize Mother's Day in worship, because for some, this day, I think, can be painful. It may bring up powerful emotions of the fact that some of you may not have gotten to know your mothers, or maybe you were abused by your mothers, or maybe you are mourning the fact that you can't be a mother for one reason or another yourself. And I want to be sensitive to these things, as all of these emotions are legitimate, and point to the complexity of birth, of raising a child, and of motherhood. But even with these powerful and legitimate experiences and emotions of Mother's Day, I don't think it's helpful to ignore some very, very important images of being a mom. Many that I believe can really help us in our faith and even propel the church forward in more loving and more open ways. Being a new dad, I have witnessed firsthand the messiness of birth. Let's be honest, giving birth is messy in many, many ways. It's unpredictable, it's frightening, it's exhilarating, it's time warping. Abby's own beginning of motherhood began at 6 a.m. with contractions that were already pretty powerful. She, in fact, woke me up at 6:45 a.m. when she sounded like she was breathing through a straw, through contractions. That's not how she normally breathes, I thought, tiredly, when waking up. So we started to time contractions and made the ever-important call to our doula. And for those of you who are not familiar with this term, doulas, or birth coaches, are incredible people that you can hire to help coach the couple through the complexities of the labor experience. Well, our doula, Cerise was her name, was there every step of the way. Do people think that going to the hospital is the right next step? Cerise calmly said after it was clear that Abby's labor was moving incredibly fast. Well, yeah, I guess. Wow. Okay. Cerise quickly and calmly came over to our house, helped Abby into the car, and we made the journey to St. Pat's Hospital. Cerise seemed to know always what was ahead. She updated the nurses with information. She got food for me, knowing that I sometimes get nervous around doctors' offices and hospitals. She helped us stay calm, even when the doctor warned that if Soren's slow heart rate didn't come up, they would have to go by emergency C-section. Luckily, it did come up, and we didn't have to go down that road. When we think about Mother's Day, I think it's our tendency to lean into the flowers and the candy and the thanks, Mom, for all you do kinds of things. But for me, having now witnessed the birth of my son, the most powerful thing I believe I saw in the beginning of motherhood was the creation of space. Cerise, our doula, was our mother during the whole labor process and beyond. Not because she was just giving us motherly advice, but because she created this sense of holy space around us in what was otherwise a very messy event. Do people think that the next step is going to the hospital? Yes. Yes, I think so. Following our 2 days in the hospital, we took Soren home for the first time. Abby's sister was at work, and her mom wasn't going to come in till the following day. Our house, and I'm not sure if this happened to you when some of you took your first baby's home, but our house was insanely quiet compared with all of the background noises of the hospital. It was too quiet, in fact. And Abby and I began to panic holding this little thing. What the bleep do we do now? So we frantically called Cerise, our doula, who brought over some happy hour snacks, and we sat together in our living room talking. And Cerise didn't have all the answers, but she was able to create space for us to digest, to debrief, to talk through, to not be afraid anymore. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. What kind of protection do we think Jesus is talking about here in the gospel reading today? And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think that this is a sword or armed militia type of protection. Nor is it a wall them off type of protection either. This type of protection, I think that Jesus is talking about here, is a protection on making holy space. Holy space matters a lot. So what if this Mother's Day, it inspired this church to see itself more as a doula and less as a soldier in its mission to the world? You know, the historical church is haunted, I think, by this notion that we almost have to, you know, beat the word of God into people sometimes, right? I hear story after story, in fact, from many of you who grew up in churches where confirmation students had to say the Nicene Creed from memory perfectly or else. Or mission trips where the success of the mission trip was how many souls you saved. Or new members quizzed if they really were serious about giving their life to Jesus. What purpose does this type of mission serve besides power play and intimidation? What if that mission to be soldiers and dictate the word of God to people is outdated? Maybe the people of God are hungry for something different. Or we're never hungry for that type of mission in the first place. What if our goal is to simply create and protect space that allows the Holy Spirit to come in? Can our church see itself as a Cerise, as a doula for the Spirit? Today is Katrina Olson's first communion. What a special day it is indeed. This past week, Katrina helped me bake communion bread, which we will use in our worship today. And as we were baking bread together in the church kitchen, we talked a lot about what Holy Communion means. And I gave her a little history. We sat here at the altar and talked a little bit. And I gave her this little important term that the church uses a lot. It's the word sacrament. Sacrament. Which means simply a specific way that God appears to us. A way that we can understand. Because God appears to us in all kinds of different ways, right? Beyond our understanding. But God appears to us specifically in the bread and wine of Holy Communion every time, in, with, and under. So this is why sacraments are important, baptism and Holy Communion in the Lutheran Church, because they allow us tangible access to God working in the world every single time. So at the end of our time together, when we were getting into our cars, I jokingly quiz Katrina again. Okay, Katrina, now, what's a sacrament? And you could see her tired brain start to turn. And she said, oh, I forgot. Now, the church could say, oh, you forgot the word sacrament. Okay, no communion for you. But is that our mission? Holy Communion is first and foremost a space where God enters and fills and dwells with us. It is an experience of God that we need to allow time and room to experience. It's not just a term in a theological dictionary. So does Katrina know all of the ins and outs and all of the theology and process behind Holy Communion? No, she doesn't. But does Katrina get what Holy Communion is all about? And will she come to learn more in this space that our church will provide for her in the coming years? More about how God works in her life? Absolutely. Absolutely, she will. That's our mission. This, I believe, is what it means to be a doula of the Spirit. This is what I take away this first Mother's Day of having a child myself. God bless all mothers, mother-to-bes, all who desire to be a mother, in their quest to make holy space in a very chaotic and frenzied world. And may we, as disciples of Christ, have the courage to follow their lead. Amen.